BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here's Tuesday's Scott Mills Daily Podcast. Will Poulter and Donal Gleeson, stars of the new movie The Revenant with Leonardo DiCaprio, come in for a chat. It's really good. We talk about all sorts, including what Leonardo's like and Star Wars. The strange places people listen to the podcast. One of our listeners who adds himself to bands online just so he can say he used to be in Wolf Alice. And is Charlie Sloth an heir to a biscuit fortune? Find out in Real or No Real with Charlie Sloth.
Scott Mills, BBC Radio.
And we continue our run of brilliant movie guests. We had them all over the last few weeks. We've had Eddie Redmayne on the show, Jennifer Lawrence, Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg. Oh, that video has done so well, the Playground Insults video.
Oh, it continues to do very well. Radio 1, YouTube, BBC iPlayer. It's had millions of views.
Millions and millions. It's just them throwing childish insults at each other. If you've not seen it yet, if you're one of the very few people that haven't seen it, get it in your life. It's awesome. So today, more movie guests on the show after 1:30. Will Poulter, who's kind of like a friend of our show, he's been in before, and Donal Gleeson, and that'll be after 1:30. They are in this new film with Leonardo DiCaprio called The Revenant that did so well at the Golden Globes the other night. And as I was saying yesterday, you know me, if it's a film with blokes with beards, I'm generally not interested. Especially if it's wintry and they've got beards. Oh, there's a wind blowing, it looks a bit cold. Got beards. Sorry, I'm not interested.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what other movies this refers to.
Or like...
Is it the same with music videos?
No, like Game of Thrones.
Not your thing.
Got beards. No, I'm not, if you've got a beard generally, I'm not interested. But, film is different.
Yeah, but you've never given that a go, have you? The thing is, you don't like bearded men in film. But if you actually... But when you go then see a movie, you say you like it, like this film that you're talking about now.
Generally, a film with men in beards, not interested, but this really got my attention. It's brutal from the outset, this film, but epic.
I'm fascinated by this movie because everyone is holding it in such high regard.
Now, it's so good.
But when you first said you were going to see this film, I was a bit like, okay, sounds cool. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It could be any other movie at that point. But
well, that's
now,
what I felt as well. I was a bit like, well, whatever.
But now it seems to be massive.
Yeah, it's huge. So we'll talk about The Revenant. We'll talk about working with Leonardo DiCaprio because they do a lot in this film. And we'll talk about Star Wars as well because Donal's in Star Wars.
Mm.
The Scott Mills Daily.
People with beards have been on. It's not you I have a problem with. It's just when they're in film sometimes. I just lose interest.
No, it's what puts you off at the start.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, it's a beard. Oh, it's wintry. Oh, I'm not interested. But with The Revenant, I was. Okay. I'll make an exception for Santa, obviously, who does have a beard, and sometimes it is cold in the movies that he's in, Wayne, in Northampton. That was Birdie, and Keeping Your Head Up. Remember yesterday we were saying about, oh, that's the best thing ever, and you said that the Come Dine With Me episode with that guy Peter on was the best thing on TV of 2016.
Yeah, it's something I've noticed. So many people will say something is the best thing of 2016. We're only 12 days in.
Yeah.
And we were saying... I think what people need to have is almost like a golden buzzer, so they only play that card once.
You can only play it once, and you can just like on Britain's Got Talent, you press the buzzer, and then you can't say that anything else is the best thing of 2016, because it's overused.
Even if you think it's been replaced, because you know what, it just wastes so much of people's time if everyone is saying something is the best thing of 2016.
Bet you're regretting...
Or 2016. Why did I get so much abuse yesterday for saying 2016, by the way? It continued on Twitter.
Did it?
Yes.
It just sounds easier. It's like 2016.
All right.
Bet you're regretting, though, saying that clip was the best thing on TV in 2016, because what about last night's Come Dine With Me? Did you see Twitter?
I saw Twitter. So loads of people started saying to me that, oh, it's kicking off on Come Dine With Me again. Watch out. And because I'd previously said this guy, Peter, was the greatest moment of 2016 when he decided to be a really sore loser on Come Dine With Me, I thought to myself, surely not. Surely that's not been replaced. But I haven't heard this yet. I haven't heard what actually happened.
I've got it here. Well, you can't, even if it's better, you can't say that it's the best thing of 2016 because you've already played that card.
I know, which worries me a bit. I heard it was all kicking off with a Canadian last night.
Yes, Canadian Sam. He's not keen on the sauce he's been served. He's got some sass.
The white sauce was more of a White House
It had a foundation, it had walls, it had a ceiling, it had structural support. That was the hardest, vilest sauce that I've ever had in my entire life.
It gets better. You know, on the last day, and this is the best, one of the best bits of Come Dine With Me, not the best bit ever, but one of the best bits.
Yeah, careful.
They all have to say what they think of each other, and often leads to a bit of confrontation. So one of the contestants asked him how he felt when he met everyone on the first night.
On the first night, I thought an interesting cast of characters. We're going to see how this goes.
That's very non-committal. Let's hear a little bit more.
Is that wise?
Now that we've had a few nights, I've actually been looking forward to this thing being over. And I'm happy that we're going to be parting ways at the end of the evening.
Yeah, he hates them.
Come Dine With Me is getting so many good, bad losers. Do you know what I mean?
For ages, it's been like, oh, you're in fourth place. Oh, okay, then not to worry. And now people, they're getting better people who really are bad losers.
I think the key is when they're really self-important. I've got this amazing clip here of an old one, actually. She's called Heather, and she hates the fact that she's lost in her own house.
I love this
so
one.
So you will love this.
Okay. Here's Heather. Doesn't like losing.
I don't believe this. I really don't. You put me fourth.
Aww.
No, seriously, I think you all have really put me, obviously, give me a low score. And I'm really sad about that.
Someone's got to come fourth, haven't they?
No, because my food was better than any of yours. Seriously, I am so shocked that you gave me what you did. My presentation was amazing and far better than any of yours. And I came fourth.
What a way to end the week.
No, I'm sorry. I'm so upset with all you. I've been so honest about you. Do you know what? I don't deserve fourth. I'm sorry, I'm going to bed. Forget it. I'm so upset. That is so sad.
Oh, love. It's a TV show. Come on.
More of that.
Still not as good as this one, though.
So, Jane, take your money and get off my property.
Still the best. The Scott Mills Daily. So we've had loads of amazing film guests on the show over the last few weeks. Eddie Redmayne, Jennifer Lawrence, Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg. And now it's the turn of Will Poulter and Donald Gleeson.
BBC Radio 1.
Hi, Will. Hi, Donald.
Hey, how
hello.
You doing?
Welcome to Radio 1.
Thank you.
Will's favourite radio station and soon to be yours.
Nope.
No.
Okay, that's a good start. So, I saw The Revenant the other morning on my own at 8:30 in the morning.
Wow.
I turned up and I was like, oh, I'm a bit late, as always. And they were like, oh, don't worry, you're the only one here. So it's great.
Is that how you watch a lot of movies, though, I imagine, right?
Yeah.
Right.
There's no popcorn. It's 8:30 in the morning.
I think it's a massive fraud, this, when you go see a screening ahead of a film, because it's not, for me, the proper cinema experience. You don't get a load of popcorn with it. You should demand it.
I kind of wanted someone to be there because I did spend most of the film like trying to curl up into a ball.
Yeah.
Or with my hands slightly over my face. But it was a great movie. I absolutely loved it.
Fantastic.
And the whole thing, it looks just so epic. The landscapes and the scenery, it's incredible. And all of the film does look freezing cold, mm-hmm. to the point where I was actually really cold in the cinema. Was it cold to make?
Do you know what's interesting? Talking to a few people who've watched the movie, they've actually commented on the fact that they felt cold watching it.
100%.
Which is really interesting, and it kind of testament to I suppose the camera department there creating a genuine sense of cold.
Yeah.
Also to us being absolutely freezing.
And us genuinely being
that
cold, probably.
Yeah,
we'll
give
ourselves a pat on the back for that.
Those 7 months.
Yeah.
Was it 7 months?
From beginning to end, yes, it was. Yeah, there was a break in the middle for a while. But 7 months, yeah.
Which Donald chose to do a play in that break. So we got a legitimate holiday of about 3 weeks. And Donald decided, do you know what? I'm knackered. I'm freezing. But I'm going to go and play a woman in a farcical play with my brother and my dad and be brilliant in
amazing.
It as well.
Yeah.
How he did that.
I just shaved my legs. So for the whole second half of that movie, underneath that costume, my legs are shaved. Just keep that in mind.
He's pretending like they weren't shaved from day one of filming.
And like,
but
I mean,
let me tell you, personal experience, they were silky smooth from day one.
So silky smooth legs for the second part of the movie. See, that's gold.
Continuity were freaking out.
Yeah, I bet they
didn't like it at all.
especially in the cold, that must be punishing.
Must have been even colder on your legs, though.
No, but I mean, I wasn't wearing shorts. I had pants on, so hopefully they were going to do most of the work.
Where was the movie shot?
Calgary, Alberta, so British Columbia region of Canada. Very cold, inhospitable part of the world, but also incredibly beautiful.
Yeah.
And kind of landscape that you can't really sort of fabricate or find anywhere else. So we were very lucky to be there.
So it's about the adventures of Hugh Glass, played by Leonardo DiCaprio, who's like a mountain man with a very impressive beard, and joined by you two and others in a military expedition along the Missouri River. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you say you two, you mean myself and Will, not Bono.
Not you two.
Larry Mullen and Adam Clayton. Yeah. Freezing they were.
Yeah.
They were freezing.
Livid.
Bono got very annoyed.
And in the opening sequence, or pretty much opening, you get set upon in quite a magnificent way. It's so brutal. And that was the first time I curled up into the ball.
Right.
The ball.
The fetal ball. I've also never seen so much meat in one film.
So much meat.
So much red meat.
There was a lot of red meat eating.
Sometimes cooked, sometimes not.
Sometimes not. Often not, actually.
This is not a film for vegetarians, I would say.
Well, we're not asking them to eat it.
Eat our film. Yeah, yeah. No. I mean, although that being said, we're certainly not banishing them from watching it either. I think that this is potentially a harder watch if you are a vegetarian. But then that being said, he's also foraging a lot. So he's eating a lot of sort of a lot of kind of plants and berries as well. So there's something in there.
Something there for everyone. It's been widely said that it was a very difficult film to shoot. And obviously we've heard about Leonardo having to eat raw liver and just gut a horse. What was the hardest day of shooting for you?
Oh, that's a good question.
The hardest day of shooting.
The one on the mountaintop was pretty difficult. Mm. We were up a mountain.
Which mountain?
The one that was like 10,000 feet.
That one was tough.
Where they didn't know if the helicopter was going to get up to get us off the mountain. That was a weird one.
My word.
And then any day where we were in and out of water was really difficult, because dressing for being freezing in the water is totally different to dressing to try and be warm in the freezing cold on land. So when we had to hop in and out, that was really, really... All those days were horrible. So most of them, yeah.
Was it that, would you say, one of the hardest things you've had to do in your job?
I had to lose a lot of weight for a film called Unbroken that I found particularly difficult. And whenever I was finding this one hard, I would remind myself that at least I was allowed to eat. So that was the thing.
Yeah. I think for me it was the hardest thing I've ever done.
Really? You lost a lot of weight over the course of it too, Will, so you actually weren't eating a lot of the time. So.
It looked, physically really demanding.
Physically it was demanding. I think as tough as it was and as much as been made about how brutal and difficult it was, I think we feel, in order to kind of create that sort of intense, visceral experience you were talking about as an audience member, we kind of needed to experience some of this for real, you know, up to a point and to an extent, you know. And also we felt very lucky that we were able to also, you know, shoot this in a way that it's kind of like becoming a dying art, you know, that kind of old school approach to making movies where you shoot actually on location, real weather elements, all natural light. Like there was no electricity used to light this film. So that provides, you know, a whole host of unique challenges, and it does make it a lot tougher, and it makes it a much longer experience. You know, the reason we were out there for 7 months is because we tried to shoot this film like no one else would ever even think about shooting the movie.
And it totally comes across that way.
Well, that's awesome.
It wasn't because Leo couldn't remember his lines.
No.
Leo, we need to get this today. We've been here 7 months.
Right, or your leg hair continuity slowing us down.
We need to start over.
Yeah. Oh.
Do you mind sticking around for a bit, guys? We'll have more chat in a minute.
Not at all.
Whatever's required, contractually.
The Scott Mills Daily. There is a grizzly bear attack. And, Will, you had to tend to Leonardo DiCaprio directly afterwards. Even though I know it's not real, did you feel as sick as you genuinely looked?
I think I felt sick because I had a really cold, rank pocket of soup in my mouth. So at the start of that scene, I'm, like, shouting, but I do sound like I've got, like, something in my mouth. Like, I can't... It does sound slightly more intelligible than I think I naturally sound anyway. And it was just really rough tasting. It was like a curried vegetable soup.
Which then obviously spills out of your mouth.
Which spills out of my mouth. But I also, like... I couldn't help but like eat some of it at the same time by mistake. And it was just, it was pretty, that was pretty. I think that's why I look sick.
I also had to, I have to stitch up Leo's neck.
I know.
So they had this prosthetic so I could actually stitch closed this gaping wound, which is bleeding on his neck. And I remember Leo was so cool. After one of them, he was like, hey man. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, you're actually going in my throat. All right, okay, well, maybe the next one I won't, I'll just be careful. And he just kept on doing the take. And at the end, he was like, hey, listen, don't worry about it. But you did put a needle in my neck. So maybe don't do that next
just
time.
Just drove a needle into my larynx. Can we avoid that on the next take? Yeah. That'd be great.
And Will, you do look close to tears throughout the film. because you probably were. Like, how do you get to that point as an actor when you act that convincingly, or is it just because it was pretty horrible?
Oh my lord, I don't know if that's true at all, but I think I can speak to the fact that, you know, a lot of the time, you know, the experience of shooting the movie did kind of genuinely parallel, I guess, what our characters were feeling.
Yeah.
I think for us to be on location, as I said, you know, shooting in real weather elements and experiencing so much of this for real and not having, like, genuinely not having so much equipment around and sometimes not being able to actually see the crew, you know, it's very, very rare opportunity that you get as an actor. And I think we all really appreciated it.
And what was... I know, you know, I'm going to ask this question. What was Leonardo DiCaprio like to work with?
He's a total... I mean, I love him. Yeah. He's a total pro. And were you worried after total? He's a total pro. I absolutely loved working with him and getting the chance to know him.
Did he kind of keep himself to himself, or do you hang out? I guess it's hard to hang out on a 10,000-foot mountain.
Yeah, there was... I don't know. I'm not so sure. I kind of tended to keep myself to myself for the most part. But we were all, you know, we were living in different places and all the rest of it. But he was always calm. And what so impressed me about the way that he conducted himself in the film was that he would obviously be there on time the way any professional is going to be. But he never made it about him. He always just made it about the film. So we were able to chat and all the rest of it, but then once we went, he was absolutely 100%, and I just found it really, really impressive. Like, he is I knew he was a brilliant actor, but it was great to see it up close.
And if this film doesn't get him an Oscar, I think we all need to rise up and do something. What should we do? What can we all do?
Cause a ruckus.
Shall we?
Let's cause a ruckus.
Shall we cause a
ruckus? That's my plan, ruckus. Though. I don't have anything else other than that. Cause a ruckus, and I don't even know what ruckus is.
But you're going to
let's cause one. Yeah, let's cause a ruckus.
I'm going to make a bloody scene.
I'm going to initiate a riot.
Donal, you've had a massive year with so many releases. Out of all of the films you've done this year, which one do you feel that you've kind of learnt the most, either about yourself or about acting or about filmmaking?
That's a difficult one because...
It's a good one, though.
It is. I guess I had the most to do on Ex Machina, you know, so that was quite an intense experience also. Like, that was mentally very challenging on a day-to-day basis, just psychologically. It was kind of warfare all the way through. So that was interesting. But, The Revenant was the most extreme circumstances for the most part that I've been in a film set. And so, and it was shot in such a different way, kind of combining the stuff I love about theatre and the stuff I love about film really into the same experience, that I think not coming away from that having learnt a huge amount would be, you'd have to be a moron. So I
learnt nothing.
Yeah. I was just going to say. I think maybe The Revenant might have to top that.
Yeah. And Will, you've already had like such a varied career. If you could do either comedy or serious roles for the rest of your life, which one do you think you'd pick?
I'm sure I'd inadvertently perform some comedy while trying to do drama for the rest of my life, but
you're hilarious in The Revenant.
Thanks, man.
I know, it's just non-stop roles.
Yeah, you look like you're going to cry the whole time. Had me cracking up. I'm not sure. If I had a gun to my head and I had to answer, I'd say drama. But it'd be weird if you had a gun to your head and you went, comedy! So, but drama.
Now, Donal, I need to ask you about your own Star Wars action figure.
Yes.
That's happened. Did you ever think, when you were growing up and wanting to be an actor, that you would eventually be an action figure?
I never thought I'd be an actor, so action figure didn't really come into it. But it's pretty good. It's pretty good, yeah.
I hope they send you, like, a free one.
They did. They sent me a suitcase. What are you laughing at?
No, amazing. Just the idea that you'd only be sent one, yeah. Considering it's in your actual image.
But no, it was a whole suitcase.
I got three. No, I got a suitcase full of Star Wars stuff, but there's only... Yeah,
can
yeah,
I have one?
Yeah, yeah. I bring them around with me. I've got pockets full of them.
You're selling them.
Yeah. It's a little strange, yeah. It's a bit weird, but... yeah, kind of cool.
Well, I saw you were walking through New York recently, perfecting your Eminem impression.
What? Oh, yeah.
Have you nailed that yet?
I'm actually really regretting that tweet because I regret a lot of things I put on Twitter, but I put on Twitter that I was sort of like making it a challenge of mine to try and like impersonate Eminem. And I mean, not like walking around New York impersonating Eminem, but as in like, as I was walking around New York, I was listening back to all of the Eminem on my phone. And I was like, yeah, I can't actually... get even close or in the ballpark of what he sounds like. So I was like making it a challenge of mine, and now every interview I've done since, people are like,
"You've got to do Eminem."
And in the States, they're like, "Yo, so let's hear this Eminem impression." And I'm like, "Oh
well,
no!"
And how about if we make you not do that?
Oh, I love you, yeah. And that's why this is my favorite show.
Do you see? Because I knew you would have been asked that before, and you've probably had to do it.
I actually I've refused because it's not nearly good enough to even. To
it kind of feels like the only polite thing to do then. Is when you're not asked, is to do it.
Yeah. In a way. It's kind of a double bluff situation.
Yeah, yeah. I like
that kind of throwing under the bus that really does make this process of promoting the film very difficult.
When I'd ruin a take right at magic hour on The Revenant and Alejandro would come up and say, what the hell? I would say, that was Will.
That was Will. BBC
Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily. This is Radio 1. Scott Mills here chatting to the stars of new film The Revenant. With Leonardo DiCaprio, it's Will Poulter and Donald Gleeson. Donald, what was it like accepting two awards recently for people that weren't there? One of them was your dad.
That was a funny one. The British Independent Film Awards were quite a while ago, and I had to accept an award. My father was nominated in my category. I had to walk up on stage. He had asked me to accept it if he won. I went to walk up on stage. They said, here to accept his award is the director, Sarah Gavron. I was already halfway to the podium.
Oh, yes.
And I just saw Alicia, who was presenting it, go, oh no, he's misheard and he thinks he's won. And he's coming up. And it was like the worst moment of my life.
So many blunders.
And it was just terrible. And then an email, Tom Hardy would like you to accept his award if he wins in Best Actor for a film you have nothing to do with. And so Tom won. And I had to go up again.
But next year, it's going to be your year.
No, it should be.
Is this going to become a thing now? Are you going to accept more awards on other people's behalfs? Is this going to be like a Hollywood joke?
Yeah,
because we
will.
Because we're attending.
If there's anything
the...
you ever need accepted, let me know. I'll fly
well,
in.
What you don't know working. Is, I thought I'd heard Will Poulter that day, so I was also walking up. That would have been really awkward.
You got a cab
to the
airport.
It's not even close to Brendan Gleeson. It's not even.
We've got the British Kebab Awards coming up, so if you fancy like presenting something or accepting something for that,
the British Kebab Awards.
Yeah, that happens every year.
Right, so it's like February-ish, is it?
Yeah.
Just coming up very soon in February.
You get your curry, you get a lovely plate of curry, you get some beer, and then the awards take place.
Sorry, at the kebab awards you don't get a kebab, you get a curry.
No, you do get kebabs.
And curries.
Oh, you get both.
Some curries. Yeah.
But what the hell are curries doing there?
Well, it's a good point, because they do have their own separate award for that. Same with
curry
pies.
Awards as well.
Same with pies and fish and chips. Yeah, they've got their own set.
I love this country,
awards.
Don't you?
I know. Isn't it good to be back?
It really is good to be back in Blighty.
I'd prefer to be in Ireland.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I need to talk to you about your American accent because it's really good in the movie.
Oh, thanks.
Did you have lessons?
Yeah, I did. We all worked closely with an accent coach, a guy called Howard, who was very, very knowledgeable when it came to accents. And I, strangely enough, wasn't too familiar with 1821 Southeast Virginia. So that required a little bit of research.
I mean, that's very niche, isn't it?
It is quite niche. There's not a lot of YouTube clips either of people being like, I'm going to do 1821 Southeast Virginia. Follow me. You know, and like, because sometimes you can go on YouTube and, you know, you type in like, I don't know, you know, modern day Kentucky, and there's someone on YouTube and they're basically saying like that classic list of words, or they're doing, you know, I don't know, they're reading like a classic passage.
And have you taught yourself that way before with a how-to video?
For auditions I've done it. If I've like had to like, you know, night before, and I've had to like be like, oh gosh, what does South Boston sound like, you know, and then you'd like, you go jump on, watch a bit of Good Will Hunting or whatever. Any excuse to watch Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was my first time really working with an acting coach because it was so niche and there wasn't much
dialogue
material
coach.
On the... Sorry, dialogue coach, sorry. I worked with Donal. That was the first time.
I'm his acting coach.
That was the first time. And it was an interesting challenge.
Yeah. And how
he
long
was
did
brilliant
that...
at it.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Well, I got a good teacher.
And Will kept up the accent while we were working and it was amazing. And then the first time I heard him speak in his... British as you hear him now voice. Was when we finished, and he was absolutely bizarre. Oh. Absolutely bizarre because
and very annoying
so
up
totally.
Until then.
Yeah, I prefer the old Will. I also had an American accent. Did you think that was good?
No, very good.
Yeah, it's weird that you didn't say it though, isn't it? Because you're all like Will.
It's true, you did leave him out
accent.
There, Scott.
Yeah, I did.
Isn't
actually.
It strange that you just didn't say anything about that?
I was gonna. That was the next question.
Was it?
That was the next compliment.
No.
It was the next compliment.
It's a big desk.
So even. Even when you weren't filming, did you also do the same? Did you not drop out of the accent?
Well, I kept the accent, but that's less because I don't know. It's for, the only really reason I did it was because I'm not really like good enough to drop an accent and then remember where I left it in a way, like in my head. You know what I mean? Like I'd be really worried about coming off set, like doing my own voice, and then coming back on set and be like, oh shoot, I've forgotten. So it was just a useful exercise for me. It was no other.
But
no
when
other
you
reason
do it, that... let's say you've done a take and then you're all just hanging around and you're talking.
Mm.
Is it a strange moment when you just use that voice and you're talking to other people? Do they look at you in a strange way or is it just accepted?
On set, I think while we were on set and actually shooting the day, I think we all pretty much stayed in accent.
I remember I was once working at the on the red carpet at the premiere of Batman Returns with Christian Bale and he was still doing the Batman voice at the premiere.
What I've heard is that when
he was doing that, or he was doing
not the
like
Bruce
American.
Wayne. He was doing Bruce Wayne. He wasn't doing. He wasn't like this.
Just coming up to you. Where is she?
Why would he still be doing it in the premiere? He's made the film now.
Right.
What I've heard is that when he's promoting a film, he uses the same accent, so that there's no disconnect between. Oh, right. So you see him promote the film, and he's all lovely in English, and then you go, and then he's all American. That there's no disconnect between the person promoting and the acting in the film. That's what I had heard. I don't know if that's true.
He's having such an amazing moment. Like, what Christian Bale's doing, more so than ever, he's kind of like, I feel like his body of work in the last couple of years has just been insane.
And just his body as well. That body works.
Did you, and you can tell me, did you steal any good props from The Revenant? Because there's...
Yep, I took the compass.
The compass,
and then found out afterwards that it was, it wasn't as old as I thought it was.
Ah, really?
Okay, let's not say steal. They let you have them.
No, do you know what? I don't think I actually took anything from the set. I don't think I did.
I
only
the
memories.
I left those behind.
Ah, did
I
you?
The compass. Yeah.
Didn't recognize me when I came.
Donald, you must have taken something from Star Wars. Come on.
No, because they are like, you know, you take something from Star Wars. You get a letter in the mail, and then somebody comes around and takes your kneecaps.
Yeah. Right. And the lightsaber that you've taken.
And that's the official process, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds
well, that's
weird.
The left one gone.
But that's, yeah.
You're ready for the right?
Yeah.
To be honest, I wouldn't mess with that franchise. I wouldn't.
No. They'll take everything.
Yeah. Listen, well, Donald, it's been incredible to have you here at Radio 1 today. And The Revenant is out on the 15th of January. Go watch it. Thanks, guys, and Happy New Year.
Cheers.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Playing that's just reminded me that when we announced Jack Garrett as number one on the BBC Music Sound of 2016 list last week on Breakfast, reminded me of how me and him bonded over Justin Timberlake live concert DVDs. He said that's why he got into music, because he used to watch Justin Timberlake on tour on telly and just go, wow.
But I think you were lying, because I think you watch Justin Timberlake live shows to see the background dancer. That's predominantly what you're watching.
The guy that's always with him?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't with him on the early ones.
Was he not? I didn't know that.
I don't think so. I know the guy you mean. If you've ever seen Justin Timberlake live in the last few years, there's a guy that's properly going for it at all times.
He's quite a big guy.
He's a big lad. We found out his name before, do you remember?
Yeah.
Like, shout out to him, because he is amazing. He is having such a great time behind Justin Timberlake at all times. But yeah, Jack Garrett, that's the reason he's here. kind of. That was Justin Timberlake and Mirrors on Radio 1.
Track of the day.
Track of the day.
BBC.
Radio 1.
So you know this Army track, Ellie Goulding, it's all over the TV at the moment. Ellie was chatting to Grimmy this morning on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show, and here's what she had to say about her track.
I'm so excited that you're playing this. This is another song I wrote with Max in LA, and it is about, basically it's just about my friend that I met in college a long time ago, and she also works with me, so we've basically spent nearly every single day together of our lives for the past 10 years. And she's amazing. I'm sure you've met her, and like, I don't know, like people sort of like, hi Hannah, now on the road. But like, yeah, and I just wanted to write a song about her and not about what I usually write about, which is a boy usually.
A boy.
And I don't know, like we have like a funny relationship. We have like this mental sense of humor, and we're constantly having to go through the craziness of being on the road, and you know, we've had a lot of ups and downs the past few years, and that's kind of what I wanted to show in this song, really.
Oh, I do love her. The interview did take a little bit of a strange direction at the end.
Ellie, it was lovely to talk to you.
You too.
And I guess we'll see you on the road between now and Christmas.
Oh no, my cat's going for... I think my cat's not very well.
Oh no, what's happened?
Well, you know, I don't really want to say it because it's a bit gross, but...
Oh, the cat's not well. Oh, yeah. God, the glamorous life of a pop star.
No one was expecting that at the end. Oh, my cat's not well. Here's Ellie Goulding. This is great. It's Army, track of the day.
Track of the day.
Track of the day.
BBC.
Radio 1. I know that I've been messed up. You never let me give up. All the nights and the fights and the blood and the breakups. You're always there to call up. I'm a pain, I'm a child, I'm afraid. But yeah, you understand. Yeah, like no one can. I know that we don't look like much, but they don't stand a chance like us. 16, and you never even judged me. Matter of fact, always thought you were too cool for me.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello, Rebecca Smith in Bristol. I know you're not listening live because you're at work. You're listening to us on the podcast. She emailed me the other day. Listens to the podcast every night while giving her dog a bath. Good.
It's always strange with shout-outs for the podcast, isn't it?
It is a bit. But hello. Is that really necessary, giving your dog a bath every night and listening to the... I mean, obviously, it's necessary to listen to the podcast every night. But that seems a little excessive in the washing area there.
Giving the dog a bath every night.
Yeah. It's quite a lot.
Maybe it likes
the same
it.
As, well, it's a bit the same as you, isn't it? Like, what is it? Shower every couple of days? Three days?
I shower. I wash less than that dog.
Oh, you actually do as well.
But then I might do it more if someone washed me. Do you know what I mean? It's like it takes the effort out. I mean, the dog isn't there washing itself. The dog's not going, I've got a really busy day today. So, do you know what I mean? It's the only thing on the dog's agenda, really.
You're saying you're
aside
finding
from a walk.
You're finding an effort to wash yourself, Chris.
No, what I'm saying is it's easy to compare me to the dog, but the dog hasn't got that much to do. Do you know what I mean?
So busy. Hi, Rebecca. I'm quite interested in people that listen to the podcast while doing, like, quite weird things. If you haven't got our podcast, it's called The Scott Mills Daily, and it's all of our best bits without the music. So we just put all the talks in, and it's on the Radio 1 website, and it's free. So if you miss any of the show, get it and wash your dog to it.
BBC.
Radio
1.
Right, at the moment, on BBC Radio 1, it is New Music Month, cos January. So on the iPlayer right now, check out the 2016 Sound Of winner, Jack Garrett, performing in the Live Lounge. That was so good. As well as more from this year's list of artists on the Sound Of 2016 list. Predicted to do massive things in music in the next 12 months. And also on iPlayer, looking back at where it began for two big artists in 2015. Annie Max on there, rewinding an incredible year for Wolf Alice, including their Live Lounge and Glastonbury performances. And Charlie Sloth presents Stormzy at Radio 1's Future Festival, One Extra Live, and also taking to the famous microphone in the Live Lounge.
Wolf Alice and Stormzy, and loads more new music on the Radio 1 channel on BBC iPlayer right now.
BBC
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Chris has spent the entire duration of Low in the Atlantis pondering another name change for Cheryl.
It's a tricky one, isn't it, for her? You just wonder if her post must be all over the place. No.
Is that the first thing that you thought of? When I said that she might change her name back to Cheryl Tweedy. Oh, what about her post?
It was actually, yes, but only because you think about it. That's what. How many names is that now? Three?
Three, yeah.
It's tricky to keep up with.
It is. It really is. I mean, there's going to be a lot of problems that. With the name changing there. But I like that post was the first thing that came to you.
What is post? And then my second thought is doctors.
What about a letter? I know she's going to change all that as well.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Want to pay their dues? Imposters want to take my tune. Stiff chocolate, yeah, my face so smooth. Check it. Don't even talk too much or a talker. The man still go halves on the... Saw me turn from a prince to a pauper. Two cigarettes and a bottle of water. Tell the bouncer I get the bottles in order. Man in the kitchen putting in orders. Stiff chocolate, skin clear like water. Smoothing this thing, start locking up doors. Yeah,
bit of me that's Stormzy. Back up, dancer. Shut up on BBC Radio 1. Chris off of Hemel Hempstead. What about Cheryl's driving licence and passport? I know. And then there's a bank card.
Oh. Does she drive? I don't know why that's a strange thought.
It's another one, isn't it? Like, you can't imagine a lot of famous people driving. And Cheryl is one of those. I can't imagine her actually driving a car, can you?
No.
Like, you were surprised when you saw me drive that time, remember? Not saying I'm famous or anything, but you just said it was weird.
It was a weird experience. It's weird when you see someone that you recognise from the TV or radio.
Driving.
Or singing, driving. It, I don't know why, it's just weird.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Scott here. Tuesday afternoon. Hello, Radio 1.
Hello, Scott. It's Johnny here.
Johnny, what's going on?
I just thought I'd let you know of a sort of nice little idea I've had.
You've had an idea?
I've had an idea. It was something that we used to do at uni, and I think you might like it.
Okay. I like it when people just ring up or just email and just go, here's something for you. I like that. Yeah, more of this, please.
That's how it starts. That's where we find the Zuckerbergs of the world. Are you the new Steve Jobs?
I hope so.
What have you got for us, then?
So this is something that we used to do at uni, and it was based around... When I was at uni, I had a lot of friends who were sort of working for music magazines and sort of outlets like that, and they did a lot of research, like a lot of research jobs.
Right, so they were doing research jobs at magazines.
That's right.
Right.
And what I found is that a lot of people who do those kind of jobs, who sort of do the research, they can be quite lazy.
Really?
Why?
They can, because, you know, they've got other things going on. Maybe that's not the most important part of their day. So when it comes to sort of looking at stuff like bands, they might not always give it their sort of, you know, due care and attention. And they might just go on Wikipedia.
Oh.
I don't understand. So you're saying the way they prepare for interviews isn't with proper research. They often just go on the internet.
I know it's unbelievable. And, you know, I'm sure that you're totally unfamiliar with this, but they will just go on Wikipedia and look at the first piece of information.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can assure you no one at Radio 1 would ever just use Wikipedia to prepare for an interview.
Absolutely not.
Mm-mm.
Like that time that I interviewed Nicolas Cage, and the first thing that I said was, so you now live in the Bermuda Triangle. He went, no, I don't. That was the end of that.
That was game over from that point.
I mean, that swayed the interview in completely the wrong direction, and he just walked out. And that was me being a victim of Wikipedia there. But it wasn't laziness. I just kind of thought it was quite interesting. It wasn't true.
Mm.
Your Wikipedia is quite interesting, Chris.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm just looking it up now. I mean, I honestly have not written a word of this. So someone out there is writing this and it's somehow sticking. Now, every now and then people change things and add things to them.
Weren't you a lord for a while?
Yeah, exactly. Stuff gets removed. So I was a sir until recently, which I didn't really mind. But I'm just flicking through it now. It says here, it's a true story, but it's bizarre. It's on my Wikipedia that my parents had originally named him Porrick. Sorry, his parents originally planned to name him Porrick.
Which is true.
But why is it on my Wikipedia?
And this is a little gem of information that I had actually forgotten about. And I'm really glad that we're revisiting it.
Mm.
Porrick?
Was
that your original name?
Yeah, my original name, when my parents were discussing potential names, I was originally going to be Porrick. I don't know why you're laughing.
Why though?
I think it would have stuck out slightly more. They settled with Chris. I actually think Porrick would have been a brilliant name.
Mm.
Porrick Stark.
Scott and Porrick.
Yeah, exactly.
Um,
who would you rather listen to? Scott and Chris or Scott and Porrick?
I mean, that's a Game of Thrones character, surely.
It is a bit Game of Thrones, isn't it?
It is, but also, the reason it wouldn't work for you, Scott, is it would overshadow your name. You've got quite a good stage name, Scott Mills. It's you not, can imagine it on posters, you hear it in jingles. But imagine, Porrick turns up on the show.
It's not a stage name, that's just my name. That's my name, yeah, Scott Mills.
I know, but from birth, you've always been a brand, haven't you?
From day one. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure I'd like a Porrick.
What were we talking about?
And we're talking about how sometimes researchers, when they're doing researcher interviews, possibly use Wikipedia. Hmm. Carry on.
So, what you want to do, we had a sort of goal, which was to try and get these a little spot in one of these interviews. And the way that we decided to do that was to add ourselves into the band, basically. So we find little bands. We found bands that were up and coming. So they were sort of, you know, getting to a level where they'd be interviewed, but not necessarily so well known that you know the band inside out.
Okay. And what kind of like happened, mid-level band, yeah?
Yeah. So, yeah, you're looking for a band on their way up that, you know, that you're sort of aware of, but not totally familiar with.
Yeah.
So, and then you want to add yourself into that band. And our goal was always to find an interview. The dream was to get on an American radio station with a band that was on their way up and just get them to ask the most stupid question and ask them sort of, you know, where's the other member of your band? Where's, you know, it says on your Wikipedia page, there's five of you or whatever, you know, and where are they? So we started to do that.
Well, so you would add yourself into the band on Wikipedia?
That's right.
What would you put?
So, well, it varied from band to band, but for a while I was on the Half Moon Run page playing the xylophone. That was a
you just
that was
put your name in, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Hang on, and I just want to understand this. So you wouldn't pretend to be in the band in the hope that, because obviously the band would deny that you were in the band, but you just wanted to make an interview. You wanted some random radio station to say, oh, where's so-and-so today?
Pretty much, yeah, and to just make them ask that question, just, you know, confuse them, bamboozle them a little bit.
Yeah,
that's genius.
So they're like, "Where's Johnny? Where's the xylophone player?"
That's right. Yeah, teach them a little lesson about research. So, of course, really, I was just hoping it would happen to one of my friends, but you know, we don't know whether that happened or not. But, yeah. You know, for a while, we got a little bit wise to it. So for a period of time, I was actually a past member of Wolf Alice.
Oh, that's so good.
And what was so quite good. Fun about that was when I was sort of out and about and sort of met people, I'd be like, oh, yeah, Wolf Alice, yeah, they're a great bunch of guys, actually. Oh, I miss them. I really miss them. And sort of like, oh, really? Like, yeah, yeah, no, he used to be in a band. And you sort of get the Wikipedia page up and you look at the past members and they go, no way. And they go, yeah, what did you do? And a couple of chats I had I was chatting to a girl on that. And I was like, yeah, I played tuba in Wolf Alice for a little bit.
So you were down for tuba in Wolf Alice. Were you past member?
Yeah, a past member of Wolf Alice. Yeah, and I don't know if you ever heard Freezy on a tuba, but I can tell you that it's quite the...
incredible.
It's quite the rousing rendition. So
what a good idea, because you...
But then they got wise to that and took me off that, so I'm now a past member of Wolf Alice, which is even worse, really.
Mm. Still now, you're on there, are you?
No, I got deleted. Oh. I got deleted from history.
Mm. But the reason you do it with lesser bands is because they're less likely to change the Wikipedia, right? Because, for example, right. My Wikipedia, people add all sorts all the time. I don't bother to change it. Eventually, it might get deleted, but it's not me that changes it. If you get a band at the right time and you're there from the start, it's unlikely they'll change it, right?
I should point out, you shouldn't really do this. You shouldn't really change people's Wikipedia pages.
No.
It's not really on, is it?
No, and most stuff does end up getting deleted. But it is fascinating that for a while you could have a screen grab claiming you're in Wolf Alice.
I know. See, like, I've always wanted to be in the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah.
Imagine if I was, just like a past member.
Well, I'm sure that will happen.
Tuba.
I play the triangle in Blossoms.
It's not allowed, but it is quite quite fun, isn't it?
It's a very naughty thing to do.
Well, it's good to speak to you, ex-member of Wolf Alice.
It's been a pleasure.
I'll tell you what, Scott, it's given me an idea. I'm going to have a look at some of the smaller bands that are breaking through at the moment, just see if I can have myself as
who you'd like to be in
as a member
until you get deleted. Thanks, Johnny.
No worries.
Love you, bye.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Right, someone's having a mare on your Wikipedia.
They're just going to town on
They're going, are you, basically, you are now the son of Iron Man, If you look at your Twitter.
Lord Chris Stark is a kind of British radio personality. That's how that one begins now.
Am I in the Black Eyed Peas yet on mine, or used to be?
Oh, I don't know. To be honest with you, I'm just busy refreshing mine, seeing what's trying to keep across it. Not that I can do anything.
No. You're not going to even change it, are you?
Nah.
Do you know how to?
No.
Nah.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Oh my gosh, it's Charlie Sloth. Hello.
Hello. I've missed you guys, you know.
I've missed you.
It feels like a lifetime.
Hi, guys.
Hi guys.
You okay?
I'm great, man. How are you?
Really good. How was your Christmas and New Year? I bet you were mashing it up in the club.
I was mashing it up in the club. I was mashing it up in the kitchen. I put on about 3 stone. I'm wearing tracksuits for 3 months. Can't fit into any of my clothes.
Is it? Did you go in?
I went in. In. Good. Like fully, fully in.
As I would expect.
Mm-hmm.
Is that why you're wearing a blanket?
It's not a blanket.
It's a blanket, though.
It looks more like a towel than a blanket.
It is a bit towel-like. It's kind
of
towel
jumper.
Quite bobbly, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it. It's
did
so
you make
bobbly.
That yourself?
No, I bought it.
I wish you could see this, listeners, because it's
from a very expensive designer house. I have.
It's like
know.
A fleece. Yeah. It's like a fleece.
It's very cuddly.
With a zip on it.
I'm
it's probably
cuddly.
Designer, is it?
Yeah, it's obviously. Everything I wear is designer.
Yeah, I kind of know it is, yeah.
New Year's resolutions, Charlie?
Make more money.
Fine.
Hang on.
Okay.
Good.
And the diet?
What diet?
All right. Hang on a minute. Last time you were on, before Christmas, which was ages ago now, you were saying that you had lost weight.
No. So what happened is last year, I put myself through a new regime.
Yes.
I lost 4 stone.
Yes.
Put it all back on. I did. I did.
Okay.
There was a point in the year, if you look back through the year at some pictures of me, I'm looking quite thin. Mm. And obviously, man put the weight back on. And
four stone of it?
Yeah.
That's what I mean. You've done well there.
More than 4 stone.
Yeah, I put it all back on. So I am starting to take care of myself a bit more because obviously obesity kills and we do not promote that.
We don't.
No.
Yes, you are looking quite fat. No, but it's 4 stone.
Thanks.
4 stone is impressive.
I've actually lost a bit of weight since New Year.
4 stone is impressive.
Yeah. So be fair.
I don't even know how you've done
that. Good on you.
Fair play to you.
Thanks, man.
You need one of those wristband things that counts the steps.
I've got one.
Have you?
Yeah.
Use it.
That was really rude.
No, I'm saying it's a good thing I was sticking up for you.
No, Chris, you weren't sticking up for me. You just poked me in the ribs with your pen.
I genuinely wasn't. I was saying it's a good thing to use.
I would like to apologise because I did just say that you do look quite fat.
Yeah,
I'd like to apologise.
So what did you mean by that?
No, I mean that you're looking well. You're looking really good.
Really?
It's just
the
blanket.
Oh, you meant fat as in the urban term.
Yeah, I did.
You look fat, bro.
With the pH. And here's real or no real.
Charlie Sloth's Wikipedia page states that his great 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 grandfather invented the custard cream.
Oh, that would explain a lot.
Get this right.
What do you mean that would explain? You know what? We're into 2016 and I thought we left fattism in the past. You are so fat.
You're fattest.
You are the most fattest individual I've ever met. I've been around for 28 years.
Are we continuing with this ridiculous charade
definitely
into another
fattest.
Year?
Are so fattest. It's unreal, fam. I thought, you know, 2016, it'd be a new Chris, it'd be a new Scott, it'd be a new me. No. You're still fattest. And you can't even talk.
I can talk.
No, you were still fattest there a moment ago. Oh, use it.
You're playing the card.
You wouldn't say that to a skinny person.
You're playing the card.
Would you say that to a skinny person? No, you wouldn't, fam.
Say what?
Use it. In the tone you said it
okay,
as well.
Okay, the tone was wrong then, but I genuinely think it's a good thing to do.
Hey, listen.
I do it.
Mate, right. four stone is 196,000 extra calories.
Really? Whew, that's a lot.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think we're in a new year now. We need to change the chat.
What, the fattest thing?
You need to kind of kill the fat jokes.
It's a joke that's been done.
It's just been done, hasn't it? Do you think we need to get a new shtick?
Really?
New shtick for 2016.
Because it's kind of become a routine. You say you're fattest, I say you're fattest.
What about we say you're the funniest? Are you funniest?
But that doesn't work.
No, it's not.
No.
Okay, we'll work on it anyway. Me and Charlie will get together.
Yeah.
But did his ancestors invent the custard cream, mother of all biscuits?
Get this, guys. Great, 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 great uncle, I believe. Not definitely that in that order, but a lot of greats. Get what they invented? A relative of mine? Penicillin.
No way.
That's huge.
Yours?
Yeah. Fleming. Right? So I was told this over Christmas.
Oh, come on.
Great, great, great relative either created penicillin or took worked it with someone.
With a test dummy.
Worked with someone.
The trials.
Worked with Medical someone in that game. So right, fascinating right. stuff there.
Sure. Yeah. Who told you that?
Yeah. That's one of them drunk uncle stories.
Whoever keeps updating my Wikipedia, put that on there because that's impressive, that is.
So on Wikipedia, it says that Charlie Soth's great-great-great-great-grandfather invented the custard cream. Real or no real?
I know the answer to this.
Go on then.
Well, I'm going to let you go first.
Okay, well, I'm going to go real then.
No real.
That one is no real.
No.
Come on, cuz.
Chris is having a terrible time with his Wikipedia today. Nice. People keep changing it. Because,
what are they saying?
Well, because we had a guy on earlier who sometimes puts himself in bands on Wikipedia. So he's put himself in the band Wolf Alice before. Just puts like Johnny Xylophone. And people are changing his a lot now.
Right.
What's the latest, Chris?
He's the rightful heir to the Iron Throne. Someone's
He's still involved with Kim Kardashian?
Yeah.
Was you doing a team with Kim Kardashian?
Well, it says so on there.
Wow. Well, Wikipedia doesn't lie, does it?
And next.
Having a nap on the go will now be easier after a clothing company released a hoodie with a built-in pillow.
Oh, well, this is just perfect.
Great idea. That is genius.
Because I can sleep anywhere.
Can you?
Yeah, pretty much. Imagine on a plane. Oh, pillow.
That's
imagine
a great
just
idea.
Just sat in a seat, you know, like waiting for someone. You're like, oh, pillow. Sleep.
Traveling in the car.
Sleep.
Sleep.
Brilliant.
Train.
Sleep. Because it's sometimes hard, isn't it, to get comfortable. You've got your head up there, jammed against the window. It's
public toilet.
Sleep.
Great one.
I don't know how you use those airline pillows, though. You know the ones that go around your neck? They never seem to work.
Well, I think they're rubbish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never got that either.
Yeah.
The head just goes around.
It actually doesn't solve a problem. From unless I'm wearing it the wrong way around or something, I can't see what problem it solves.
No. I mean, you've just got something inflatable around your neck. You look stupid and it's not actually doing anything.
Mm. Yeah, agreed.
Hoodie with a pillow. Is this an actual thing? What a great idea if it is.
Great idea.
I would really buy this.
Well, shall we go real then?
I'm going to go real for this. I can see someone actually putting this together. It's a great idea.
Yeah, okay, both real then.
That one is real.
Yes, let's get on to it. The hoodie comes with an inflatable pillow in the hood, which means you can actually take a nap wherever you are. I'm so into that.
Genius.
And finally,
passengers on the London Underground came together yesterday for the 7th annual No Trousers Day.
Wow. So wait, what does this mean?
You don't wear trousers on the tube in London.
A substitute or nothing? So are you going to go for shorts or...?
I don't know.
Good question. But I assume there's loads of people just dropping trowel then.
I think it's...
Wait. No pants. As in underwear pants are we talking or are we talking...
Trousers.
No trousers day. So people on the Underground aren't wearing trousers.
Yeah, they're just in their pants.
In London.
Wow.
So what do you think?
Did that really happen?
Yeah, if this is real, someone's created that.
Yeah, and it would have been huge online. That would have been viral within minutes.
Although you say that, I was in a hotel in Southampton, right? And I just happened to hear these noises outside the window. Look outside the window, right? I was eating a pizza.
Yeah.
Remember this clear as anything, right? And then thought after this happened that I might have been dreaming. Look out the window. I'd say about 200 people went past on bikes, completely naked.
I saw that! I got pictures. I took pictures of that.
It happened.
Oh, my, it happened. I couldn't believe it.
Well, how come you were there as well? Were you
I
with him?
I couldn't understand.
No, where was
hotel?
I? I wasn't in Southampton. Where was I when that happened?
What's the crack there,
I think
then?
I was 200 in, cyclists I think naked. I was in Brighton or somewhere like or Guildford. I was somewhere like that, yeah.
I wonder if it's the same group.
I took pictures. I actually posted a picture online of that because I was just gobsmacked. There was like women in their 60s.
Scott, I'm not lying. I could hear all these bells.
Yeah, and there was men.
Sure enough, look outside.
Oh my God, that will live with me forever. Some of the things that I saw.
Anyway,
well, they're going past your hotel in Southampton. And then you saw them in Brighton.
Well,
so it's South Coast
Guildford. So I'm interested to know where else they're spotted. Because there's a troop of them going around the UK.
Naked. No clothes whatsoever. None.
Oh.
So if they do that, then this no trousers thing is a possibility. So I'm going to go real.
But you went on the tube yesterday in London, right? Did you see anyone?
I was on the tube in London.
Did you still get on the tube?
Yes, obviously.
Man like Chris Stark gets on a tube, and I respect that, bro. I'm like Jay-Z.
What are you on about?
I'm like Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Okay, I think this is real.
I'm going to say no real. I can't see this happening.
That one is real.
Wow.
It's true. No Pants Day, because that's what they call it in America, because pants means trousers, started in America in 2002. Basically, a load of people get on the metro wearing no trousers, and it kicked off here 7 years ago, with the latest being yesterday. I'm gutted I missed that.
Yeah, we should do that. When is the next No Pants Day?
Next year, I imagine.
Next year. Well, we should start planning for that now.
I'm not wearing no pants.
It doesn't take
work.
Much to take your trousers off, really? Charlie. Anyway, do you want to know the scores?
Yes.
I got 20. Charlie got 20. It's a draw.
Spore draw.
Score draw. Back on One Extra in a minute, are you?
Yeah, I am. Today's show is going to be absolutely incredible. You are not going to believe who we have
who
on
have
the show
got?
Today. This is massive. Got a drum roll or something?
Who have you got?
You got a drum roll?
Yeah. Drum roll.
On the show today, we have the one and only... Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Bruce Willis.
Oh, come on, get
Bruce
out.
Bruce Willis is on the show today.
Wheel him out.
Why are you wheeling me out for, man? Come on, man, let me back.
Goodbye.
Stop making it.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Those are the best bits of Tuesday's show. We're back tomorrow from 1 on BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1.